Let's continue reading verses 11 through 17 of James chapter 4. Now, in the second half of James chapter 4, we have two further common sins that plague us: finding fault with fellow believers and planning ahead without taking the Lord into account. Anyone want to raise their hand here and say you never committed either one of those sins? Let's read verses 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Once again, let's consider a few background notes. We've seen in our studies of James thus far that the Epistle of James is a very practical book. Would you agree? In fact, the theme of James is practical Christian living. The approach of James is to point out a number of areas where Christians have problems, Christians of the first century and Christians today. After James points out the particular area of struggle, the particular problem, he doesn't leave us stranded, praise the Lord. He gives us the solution to the problem. However, the solution is not automatic. We have to do something. In fact, we are commanded to do something. The Epistle of James is filled with commands. In the five chapters of James, there are 54 commands. Now, that's a lot of commands in a short space. But these are solutions to the problems. Remember that these commands are not just the commands of James to the scattered Jewish believers in the Roman Empire of the first century. These commands are the Word of God to us today. This is Scripture. So if you have a problem in the area of temptation, or in the control of your tongue, or in making the right decision, or you have a problem because you're causing strife in the family, in the church, in the fellowship, read the book of James and obey the commands in each chapter. Sure, you say it's easier said than done. True, but with God's help, which is always available, you can do it. Now, here in the second half of James chapter 4, we have two more common sins that we probably all committed: finding fault or speaking evil of fellow believers, and making plans without consulting the Lord. That brings us then to our doctrinal points for the second half of James chapter 4. Doctrinal or teaching point number one: it is a sin to speak evil of a fellow believer. It is a sin to speak evil of a fellow believer. Verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Speaking evil of a fellow believer means to find fault with a fellow believer and publicize it. It can range from exaggerating little faults of a brother or sister to actual slander of a fellow believer. Let me ask you this morning, are you a fault finder? It's a sin. Now, you knew that slander was a sin, but you probably didn't think that talking about a person's little faults was a sin, right? Look at the clothes that sister is wearing. Doesn't she know anything about styles? Did you notice how that brother can't pronounce words ending in TH? And his grammar is terrible? Didn't he go to school? Where did he go to school anyway? Fault finding is a sin, and it leads to contempt, which is even worse. Now, before we go further, there is a place for pointing out a fellow believer's fault. Some of you are smiling here. Oh, wow, that gets me off the hook. Wait a minute here. There is a place for pointing out a fellow believer's fault, if it really is a fault. That's step one. Is it really a fault? All right? But you do it in love, and you do it privately, and you do it after you've examined your own faults. Remember, the Lord said, don't look for specks in your brother's eye. without taking the telephone pole out of your own eye first. And you do it tactfully. You don't just say to somebody, hey, you know, you need to take a course in how to dress or how to speak. Now, that's not very tactful, right? That's not the way you go to a brother or sister and point out some little fault that they have, some mannerism or whatever that may be offensive. There is a place where you can do this, but you do it the way we just said here. You do it in love. You do it privately. You do it after you've examined your own life, and you do it tactfully. And if you know the word, and you should know the word, you do it with the word, too. That's another important point. Verse 11 says that when we find fault with fellow believers, we not only judge our fellow believers, but we judge God's law of love. And if we judge God's law of love, we're putting ourselves above the law and above the lawgiver, the Lord himself. Verse 12. You follow the argument there? We're essentially saying that we don't agree with God. And God didn't know what he was doing when he made fault-finding a sin. After all, that's fun to find fault with people. We're disagreeing with God, saying God didn't know what he was doing when he said fault-finding was a sin. You know, glad I am that I'm preaching this morning. You're not going to badmouth me at dinner today, you know? Somebody will catch you. No, seriously speaking, this is serious because we're essentially finding fault with God. And remember, verse 12, he is able to save and destroy. How dare we judge one another? It is a sin to speak evil of a fellow believer. Doctrinal point number two. It is a sin to plan ahead without the Lord. It is a sin to plan ahead without the Lord. Verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Who would have ever thought that to plan ahead without consulting the Lord was a sin? I mean, you might have thought, well, that's lacking common sense. But it's a sin. It's more than just bad judgment. It's a sin. It's a form of arrogance and boasting and evil. Verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. It's not wrong to plan ahead. Let's not get the scripture wrong here, right? It's not wrong to plan ahead. In fact, goal setting and counting the cost are biblical principles. It becomes sin when the Lord is not consulted. Now, many of you here have heard older Christians add the letters DV after they tell you of their plans. Yes? How many have heard people, particularly older Christians, tell you what they're going to do, and then they say DV? What is that all about? Anyway, I remember I used that once to a new Christian in a Bible study we had. And I said, the next Bible study will be on this particular date, DV. DV? What's this DV? You know, what's that all about? Well, DV is short for two Latin words, Deo Volenti, meaning God willing. Now, we don't have to say DV, but all of our plans should be DV. That is, Lord willing, God willing. Now, why is it wrong to plan ahead without consulting the Lord? Why is it a sin to plan ahead without consulting the Lord? Well, it's not only stupid. It's stupid because the Lord promises that he will guide us if we look to him. But it's also committing the sin of presumption. To make plans apart from the Lord is to presume upon God and assume that we know the future. And we don't. Listen, we do not know what will happen tomorrow. We do not even know if we'll be alive tomorrow. Verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The people who died in the recent tragedy had no idea that when they got up that morning, that it would be the last day of their earthly lives. It could have been you. It could have been me. That's why it's so important to become a Christian now if you're not a believer. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, 1. Let me ask you, do you know for sure that if you were to die tomorrow, you'd go to heaven? You can know. That's the good news. Receive Christ as your Savior now because He loves you and He died for your sins. He will forgive you and He'll save you now before it's too late. Now, as a believer, bring the Lord into all of your plans. He will guide you. Notice from verse 13 that it's not wrong to plan ahead as to how to make a profit in business, as long as you're putting the Lord's will first. You put the Lord's will first, then it's not wrong. But it is a sin to plan ahead without the Lord. Practical application. Remember, there are also sins of omission. Verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There are not only sins of commission, there are also sins of omission. Sins of commission are definite acts of wrongdoing, like using your tongue to take revenge or yielding to temptation. Sins of omission take place when we don't do what we know we should do, when we don't help people in need that we know about and have the means to help, but we just excuse ourselves for whatever reason. This is a sin of omission. Not looking to the Lord for guidance when we make our plans, you see, is a sin of omission. It's not an option. It's a sin of omission. Verse 17 would certainly be against the false teaching of perfectionism. Did you ever meet a Christian who thinks that you can get to a point in your Christian life where you don't sin anymore? That you can reach a state of perfection? You know, I've met some of these folks. They all seem to forget about the sins of omission. They say, well, I haven't sinned. Well, what about the sins of omission? You see, they not only misinterpret 1 John 1, which says clearly that all Christians still sin. Remember what we said before, Christians are not sinless, they should sin less, but we still sin. But these Christians that are in this false teaching of perfectionism, they not only misinterpret 1 John 1, which clearly says that all Christians still sin, but they ignore their many sins of omission. What about the omission of humility in their own lives, for starters? So if you ever start thinking you're getting close to perfection, don't kid yourself. Remember, there are also sins of omission.